This is Sid and Friends in the Morning. 77 WABC.
Oh, no, you didn't, Louie. Little Fozz Skaggs for you. You know, folks, he was the best. He still is the best. He'll always be the best. No doubt about it. Whether it's 9 p.m. weeknights right here on WABC or his own tremendous website, BillO'Reilly.com. His interviews, his stories, TV show, as good as it gets. I'm being honest, as good as it gets. His Killing series now 13 in, and he's got a new book coming out September the 10th. That you won't have to buy and read. I can't wait to read it. It is the presidents from number one, George Washington, to this imbecile who's sitting on Pennsylvania Avenue right now, Joe Biden. Here he is, the greatest ever, my friend Bill O'Reilly, fresh off a big night at Cindy Adams' birthday party. How'd that go for you, Bill?
How did you know I was there?
I know everything you do all day, every day.
That's pretty scary. Rosenberg has a FISA warrant on me. He's, okay.
That's right.
So Cindy Adams, 94 years old, number one. I mean, that is, and if you listen to her on WABC on Sunday, she sounds like she's, you know, a fairly young woman when she's broadcasting.
Yeah, Michael Douglas said this week, Joe Biden is sharp as a tack. That is ridiculous. Yeah. Cindy Adams is sharp as a tack.
Well, why did Michael Douglas say that? Because his wife is hosting a fundraiser for Biden tonight in Westchester County, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Is that true?
Absolutely. See, while you're following me around, you're missing some of the other stuff. Now, if Michael Douglas, who I know and like, and I really liked his father, I had a very good rapport with Kirk Douglas. If Michael Douglas didn't say that, Catherine Zeta-Jones wouldn't talk to him. So he had to say it.
Yeah, I know.
And Biden's flying in to Westchester Airport, and he's zipping over to the mansion, and then the liberal wealthy people will gather and have canopies.
See, I'm so glad you brought this up. I'm being serious, because not that long ago, Biden came into town, and he went to Radio City Music Hall with Obama and Clinton. He raised $25 million, big deal. Trump doubled it. Now, tomorrow night, Westchester. Trump, who's here, by the way, because he's being litigated for something ridiculous, he's in East Harlem at a bodega last Tuesday and got up this morning at 5 a.m. to meet a bunch of construction workers at 6:30 on 48th and Park. Look at the difference. It is stark between why Biden, what he does in New York, and what Donald Trump does in New York.
Yeah, one footnote. Trump didn't get up. Trump does not sleep.
You're right.
He's like Count Dracula, all right? The Count is up all night, and then when the sun comes up, he dies. Now, Trump doesn't dive in the coffin during the day, but Trump does not sleep. I can't tell you how many calls that I've gotten from the former president, like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I said, are you on Japanese time calling me at this, you know?
Well, he did write in his book, The Art of the Deal, that anything more than 5 hours is a waste of time. To your point, I don't think he even sleeps 5 hours.
No. And he hangs from the ceiling when he sleeps, too. back to Cindy Adams's party. I don't usually go to these soirees, as you know. And the main reason I don't go is because I'm not invited. Nobody wants to hang with me. And I understand that. But I've known Cindy Adams for a long time. The importance of Cindy Adams is that she is the last remaining historical link to the old New York. The old New York, Cindy Adams was born in 1930. By 1950, Cindy was in motion in New York City. And you're talking about Jackie Gleason, Frank Sinatra, later on Johnny Carson, your Toots Shores, the Copacabana, all the old New York, the way it was.
Yeah.
Okay? She's the last remaining link between that era and the chaos that we have now.
She also spent a lot of time in the 70s and 80s with Donald Trump.
Yeah, but if I want to know something about old New York and I want the straight story, I'll call her.
Yeah, yep, true.
Right, and she'll tell me. I don't have to worry about the accuracy of it. I mean, she taints it as far as her point of view is concerned. At this party, were the following: Mayor Adams, Governor Hochul, former Governor Cuomo, Don Lemon.
All these Republicans. How'd you end up staying at that?
Well, I'm not that kind of guy.
No, I am. You couldn't pay me to go there.
I am gathering information wherever I go. That's what I do.
I got it.
So when I walk into a soiree like that, I'm 6'4". I'm in good shape, like you are,
yes,
physically.
Yes.
All right. And then people, their heads snap back. But I am not pandering. Never do that. But I am accessible, and I ask questions.
Well, you know what's funny about what you're talking about right now is I made the point they're all Democrats, okay? And for the most part, all those people, and I speak to some of them, are hated in this city, which is a Democrat city. The people here still hate them. So here you are, and you are, this is a misconception. You're perceived as Mr. Fox News because you were the greatest and still are the greatest cable news guy ever. So you must be Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, that same guy, which you are not, because you do go to an event like this. You do go on Chris Cuomo's show every week. Do you find that people still kind of label you incorrectly because of your Fox News days?
Only the ignorant people do that.
Okay.
Because I've been on the air now almost 50 years. Next year will be 50 in journalism. And if you watch me and follow me, you know I'm not a party apparatchik. I'm a registered independent. And I criticize both parties. I thought you did a very good job with Speaker Johnson before this segment. And I don't know him. And I'm always interested in learning about people who have assumed power in this country. And he sounds like a fairly level-headed, straightforward guy. And, you know, the fact that he went to Columbia University when, as you pointed out very astutely, and now my knees are shaking because I'm giving you a compliment, okay?
Where's
Chuck Schumer?
Yeah, where is he?
Where is he? All right? He is the leader of the Democratic Party in New York, not only in the Senate. And where the blank is he? Now, this shows cowardice. And I had a decent relationship with Schumer for a lot of years, okay? But now I am really down on him because I don't think he's looking out for the New Yorkers or for the country. I think he's just a straight-down, butt-kissing liberal guy who's going to do whatever is best for his party, not the city or the country. That is my honest evaluation of him. And I hate that. These people should be looking out for the folks. And I didn't lecture anybody last night. I had an extensive conversation with the governor and her husband. I didn't know the husband. The husband's a former federal prosecutor in Virginia. I had an extensive conversation about crime with them. And it's off the record, so I'm not gonna say what it was. But you know me, I don't back away and I don't pander. And with Adams, a little bit different. It was a little bit different about we were talking about his job, all right, and then what it entails. And then we talked a little bit about him being on the airplane and the woman who accosted him, which was totally out of line. I mean, you don't do that. You just don't. Even if you don't like the politician or whatever, there are other ways. You don't come up to somebody and insult them and use the F word. That is, you know, if I were the pilot of that plane, I would have thrown a woman right off the plane. Okay. But I want to say a couple of things that I think you'll be interested in. Are we up against a break now?
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break.
I want to talk about Columbia University and Jewish Americans in particular.
Perfect.
Because this, what I'm going to tell you now, all right, is going to make some people upset. But that's what I live for, Rosenberg. I want to make people upset. That's why I'm going to hell.
Well, you may be going to hell, but when you make people upset, selfishly, my ratings go higher. So stay right there, folks, because Bill O'Reilly is about to piss you off, which is great for me. More with Bill O'Reilly right after this.
Oh,
With crime running rampant in New York, you need to keep yourself and your family safe. Obtaining your concealed carry firearm licenses can be difficult and time-consuming. That's where MyFirstPistol.com comes in. They'll help you secure your concealed carry license. If you're looking for a pistol, premise, rifle, or shotgun license, call 347-559-7052. 347-559-7052. You must have a valid firearm license issued by the NYPD to purchase, possess, or shoot a handgun or pistol in NYC.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
77 WABC. This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
Down on me. Down on
Bill O'Reilly was the best, still is the best, will always be the best. First of all, he's not going to hell. He's one of the most charitable, nicest, decent human beings I've ever met. But, Bill, before we get to your stance on Columbia and the Jews, I got to get to this quickly, make it quick, if you will, the biggest story of the day. I mentioned our friend President Trump, my friend, earlier. The day's had already today, 6:30 on Park Avenue with construction workers, 9:30 he's in court, and 10 o'clock the presidential immunity discussion will take place at the Supreme Court. We will not hear anything about a decision till probably late June, but what are your thoughts on this discussion in front of the Supreme Court later on this morning?
Well, generally speaking, you can't allow a president to be the subject of lawsuits by individuals or states. So that's number one. The Supreme Court knows that. This hearing now is whether Donald Trump went out of his authority in the way he handled January 6th on that day. Okay, so did he go out of his authority? What was the official act that he was doing? Now, if I'm Trump's lawyer, I can make a pretty strong case that the President of the United States on that day believed that the election was fraudulent, and he has a perfect right to state that belief to the American public. And that's what his official duty is, to give the American public his point of view on not only that, but every issue. That's what presidents do. I can make that case. The liberal judges on the Supreme Court aren't going to buy that. But the traditional conservative judges will. So it all comes down to the Supreme Court leader, Roberts. He's going to be the decider here.
So you think it's going to be 4-4 down to Roberts?
Yep. 5-4.
Wow.
I don't know how Roberts is going to go.
Wow. But you see 5-4. Well, that makes me happy because every big-time lawyer, and I got a bunch, as you know, on this show, and judges and all of them, seem pretty convinced Trump is not going to get the ruling he wants in this. If you're telling me it's going to be 5-4, he's got a shot.
He's got a shot. In my humble opinion, I'm not a lawyer, and you know, some of the pinheads that you bring on do have law degrees and probably smarter than I am. So
Bill,
I wouldn't be going to the betting emporiums on it.
Okay.
That's just my analysis.
All right. Let's get to the what's going on in Columbia again. I was there Monday, the speaker there yesterday. What's happening?
Right. Here's what very few people understand. They don't understand what this is. This is an organized campaign at Columbia, NYU, and across the country. Emerson is the latest in Boston, Emerson College.
You know, almost 200 schools now.
It is run by two main organizations, funded by them. The American Muslims for Palestine and the Westchester People's Action Coalition, WESPAC. Did you know that?
I did not.
Okay. Both of these organizations you can give money to, and they're tax deductible. They take the money and they use it to buy signs. Where do you think these signs came from? tents. They have salaried people that organize on the internet, tell people where to go and what to do. Now, this is very shadowy, and it took me a while to ferret it out. The Westchester operation, no surprise, gets money from George Soros, who lives in Westchester. The other one is an international organization run by anti-Zionists and has been around for a while. And so the Students for Justice for Palestine are linked up with the American Muslims for Palestine and the Westchester People's Action Coalition. They're linked together. So all of these things are not organic. They are organized by these shadowy groups that nobody knows about.
Well, let me ask you this then, because I believe this is the case too. But here's what I'm having difficulty finding out, because I did a radio interview on this yesterday. What is the percentage, in your estimation, of kids who are just disenfranchised losers looking for a cause, as opposed to the people you're talking about who are getting paid?
Less than 10%.
You think over 90% are getting paid?
No. I think less than 10% of these students and the university population are out there causing trouble. And they're causing trouble for a variety of reasons.
No, but I'm asking you the percentage of the troublemakers, paid or not paid.
That's an impossible stat to
get.
All right, so you're basically looking at contrived protests, protests that have been cooked up by these organizations and executed on the internet, because they all have lists of people who sympathize with them. But the majority of college students are not involved with this, not like Vietnam. Okay, these are hardcore kids doing this. Now, it is not a difficult problem to solve. So next week, Columbia University hires Bill O'Reilly to be its president, which would be a very wise move. I'd probably turn it down, but that would be – maybe I'd take it for 2 weeks. So O'Reilly goes into Columbia University, and O'Reilly issues a proclamation. And it says, we respect dissent, we Columbia University, and we are going to give you an area where you can dissent – from the hours of 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And you can, as long as you are not violent or have threatening rhetoric, you can stay in that area and you can yell and scream and juggle and do whatever you want in there.
Well, hold on a second. That
okay,
sounds...
But just listen.
No. So I got to stop you right there, because Judge Napolitano is trying to say the same thing to me. You can't say to me, as long as you're not, there's no violent rhetoric, when the rhetoric is, it is death to America, death to the Jews.
Okay. So you get your little area and you get your time frame, and you say to the students, you're in the area, these are the hours you can do this. And if you leave the area and protest, or you don't leave at 8 p.m. or whatever the designated time is, you're expelled.
So you're telling me for 9 hours a day, you'd be okay with kids at a school screaming, death to America, death to the Jews?
Listen, I'm not okay with it, but there is a protection for dissent.
Okay.
Now, if you specifically target somebody and say, I want to kill Maury, then you're arrested for a hate crime. That's a hate crime. If you're generally an idiot screaming death to whatever, that is, unfortunately, under our Constitution, permissible. But the key thing is that President O'Reilly of Columbia says to the students, if you violate this, you are expelled. You are gone. The dorm room is packed up. Your gear is sent to your home, wherever you come from, and if you come back on campus, you are arrested. That puts an end to it right there. So because these kids are going to be bored, pent up in this area, they're not going to like that. And nobody, you don't have to listen to them. They're going to be away from them and not interfering with classwork or the surrounding neighborhood. So you choke it. And it would end in a week. There you go.
So if it's that simple, why are all these schools having all these chancellors? They're inept. Well, why are all these problems happening?
Because they're afraid. All of these college presidents and boards of directors of these schools, most of them are far left people, number one. Most of them believe America's terrible. And, you know, so they're sympathetic to these Zionist, anti-Zionist people. And number two, they got their jobs because they are people who never make a stand. That's how you rise up in academia. So if you, Sid Rosenberg, went to NYU tomorrow and say, you know, I've been in broadcasting now for 40 years and I really know how the industry works, so I'd like to teach a course to kids who might be interested in getting into broadcasting. You think they hire you?
Not a chance.
How about me?
You got a shot, but no, not a chance.
No.
No.
I have, even though I have 3 national Emmys, all right, I have success. I'm the most successful nonfiction book author in the world. They wouldn't hire me.
No, you have no chance. Right.
Okay? So it shows you how corrupt it is. And these people who preside over the corruption are the most corrupt of all because they have authority. They could stop this. One final point. Columbia University never comes back from this.
I agree.
Ever.
Agreed.
Because not only Jewish Americans and Jewish New Yorkers, okay, but people who are paying attention, they don't like this. 90-95% don't like this. You got to be a far left loon to think that this is healthy for America.
Well,
you got to be way out there.
I agree with you, and I don't want to stop at Columbia. What if I said to you, all of the Ivy Leagues, Harvard has difficulties.
They're all going to be hurt. But Columbia almost more than anybody else.
Okay.
Because it's so vicious. And if you go down the faculty list of people who are teaching there, it's incredible. The people they have hired to teach these students are dangerous people.
They are.
So you're no excuse. You can't come back from this. And the other Ivies are in that category as well. Now, they're all now trying to scramble because their donation, you know, Columbia's endowment is going to be hurt by this?
I hope a lot.
Oh, it's going to be down 50-60%, maybe more.
Well, how do you know that when the Jewish donors take their money out, that money from Saudi Arabia and all these Arab nations don't start coming in?
Well, it's possible that that might happen, but they're going to be under such intense scrutiny. There are certain rules that you have to abide by.
Yeah.
To accept endowments. But the point of the matter is that because these protests are so vicious, they get a lot of airtime. But it doesn't reflect, all right, the opinion of the majority of Americans. And Biden makes a huge mistake. We laced Schumer, who absolutely deserves to be laced. But Biden, you heard him? Is he going down to Columbia? No. He's up with Catherine Zeta-Jones. Michael, hey, do you have any more escargot? Hey, yeah. Is he getting a car? Come down to Columbia and say to the students, this is wrong. Stop this.
Come on, stop.
You ever going to see Joe Biden do that?
Never.
Never?
Never.
Is this the leadership we want in this country?
Oh, God, no.
So, all of this is going to coalesce and fair-minded people are going to step back and go, we don't want this movement. This entire movement, we don't want the far left anymore. I see it happening. It's not happening immediately because the media remains sympathetic to these people, if you can believe this. Okay? But Biden, oh, my God. You know, a decent American president would have spoken out about this on day 2. When you have 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds, Jewish students being slammed and defamed and threatened, and you don't say anything?
Nope.
What is wrong with you? And I can give you 100 things that are wrong with you. He's the second worst president in our history. And he's only been in office 3.5 years.
Right.
So if he's reelected, I mean, I think Sid and I are probably going to move to Malta.
I'm with you. Oh, you love Malta. I know you loved it there. And, well, next year you change spots, all right? You go to a different place every year.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't move to Malta. It's that I'd go to Ireland where they like me there. So.
They do like you in Ireland, don't they?
Yeah, they like me in Ireland.
They don't love the Jews either, by the way. These.
No, you know, you'd be surprised. The socialists in Ireland, it's a big movement. They don't like the Jews.
Right.
They're big Palestinian, and they don't. But the regular folks,
yeah,
they sympathize with the Jews because the same thing that happened to the Jews happened to the Irish. The English just went in and brutalized them.
Yeah. You know, to this day, Bernard McGuirk's father still hates the English to this day. He's never gotten over it. I kind of like that about him. Hey, this was one of your all-time best, which is hard to say because every week you're so good, the best. But this was a great conversation, very enlightening. I love you, Bill O'Reilly. Terrific job. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me in, Sid.
You got it. There he is, Bill O'Reilly. How great was that? And I think he did a really good job. In fact, a spectacular job of outlining everything, making it very easy to understand. And he's right about all these groups that pay these instigators to turn these otherwise fine institutions into chaos.